This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Okay, Robbie Earl, let's freaking go. Okay, I am so excited. You are about to get high energy, Kyle. For the first time in a while, he's here. He's got some
rock star. Was that an intentional rhyme? We got Lin-Manuel over here.
Okay, welcome to Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse, hosted by myself, Kyle Sconewill, and my longtime friend from work, Robbie Earl. Here's what I want to do. I know this is abnormal. I want to start off really quickly with something about Deadpool 2 and the new movie. Then I'm going to come back to some small talk things that I want to fill you in on. I remembered a couple of cool things and give some shout outs. Then we'll go back to Deadpool. Okay. So follow me in my scatterbrain. How are you feeling today, by the way?
I'm feeling great. I've had a really great time kind of concluding our X-Men journey here as you and I are racing through a lot of these last episodes. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sour that at all, but I did want to say quickly, I guess it's like a question. Maybe it's a comment or a question, depending on the perspective of the listener. We're recording this the day after Independence Day, July 5th. My mom's birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
And as we were getting ready to record, there are people that still clearly have leftover like popper firework things.
Right.
Not like proper fireworks, but you know, the kind of like set it in your driveway and it just explodes and makes a lot of noise.
Under the table.
And it's just such a destructive thing for our dog's psyche every time that happens.
Yep.
And I just found myself thinking, like, is that even that fun? Like, what is it about this activity where we're like, let's just go stand around this thing that's just like making really loud popping noises and smoke for like 20 minutes. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe this
is what
comment,
you're going to bring up on Deadpool 2 Day. I mean,
maybe shots are fired here. I was thinking about it. I'm curious. It brought me to this question of how, like, is this a common thing still? Like, is this a, like, for adult people, do people still look forward to this aspect of the holiday? And am I being kind of Scroogey? Or is this something where it's like everyone is kind of on the same page with me? That's my question that I wanted to throw out because we're kind of in the holiday moment. And then we're going to get fast forwarded to a week when this episode is actually coming out.
Okay, three things I know about that. One, a lot of dog owners struggle with this exact same thing. My brother has a golden retriever that they literally need to give meds because she goes and hides in the closet. Anytime a thunderstorm happens, she does it. So fireworks for sure.
He was just in a shower.
The second thing I'll say is in cities like Austin and Nashville, 4th of July becomes an entire week. You will get fireworks for 7 to 10 days around the 4th of July. So that's kind of a given. Literally, my neighborhood turns into a war zone. I mean, Annika has been hit before with like shrapnel from fireworks. So now
holy cow.
We leave. It gets so crazy. So we usually go to Michigan or something during that time. And the third thing is, I'm a little bit like you that I enjoy the 4th of July, but then by the 5th and 6th of July, I'm over it usually. So we're trying to, like I said, leave town because of that. So there's my three things.
Wow. Okay. You know, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. Really quick, Deadpool, before we get into a few other things related to what you were talking about.
Exploding things.
Well, I just got to say this for a second. I'm so stoked to be here today and talk about this, but I finished Deadpool 2 and the post-credit sequence, and I feel like, and this is obvious, everyone who's seen this knows this, but now I'm just riding that high. Like, I just shut it off not long ago.
Right.
It's all kind of coming together for me. So what I did was I immediately went and watched the trailer again. Because, okay, when I saw the trailer, put yourself in my shoes, I knew what Ryan Reynolds looked like. I didn't know any of the cast around him. I didn't know any of those characters. So we got finished and I'm like, wait a second, in that trailer, that's his fiance. And then blah, blah. So I think I'm putting this all together now, right? Is this am I correct in this? At the end of the movie, he fixes the time travel device, goes back, saves his fiance, saves Peter, I think his name is, all those people. Uh-huh. And so they're alive in the trailer.
Right.
But also, that's probably why the TVA is showing up.
Right. Right.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, it was that and the X-Men Origins Wolverine thing that I was waiting for you to get to so that we could, because that's something that I had to avoid when we were going through that movie. But yeah,
so
it all like
funny that he shoots
it,
him.
It kind of
like
does make
times.
Sense. Like, it's not a left turn for Deadpool and Wolverine to open the way it is.
Crazy. So that's what I wanted to start with. I had that revelation. We're going to get into the film in a second. Okay. Backpedal, couple of more things I want to share. Okay. Because of some weird scheduling things, I'm actually going to a family reunion next week, which is right now, if you're listening to this, I am in Colorado, specifically Breckenridge and Estes Park. So shout out to all of our Colorado listeners, which I know we do have some.
And that is a great place to be at this time of the year.
It should be really fun. So shout out Colorado listeners, but we are recording this today, just like we did last week from Davenport, Iowa. And I can't believe I didn't bring this up last week. This place actually holds a very special place in my heart. And you're not going to know why, I don't think. I almost want to ask you if you know why, but you don't know why.
I don't think
five years ago. I
mean, that does sound familiar to me, but
5 years ago, 2019, in a lot of ways, Davenport, Iowa is the birthplace of this podcast, because I remember July 2, 2019, Far From Home came out and I was working this same golf tournament, the John Deere Classic in Davenport, Iowa. I went to the theater right across the street from my hotel by myself on like a Thursday night after work. I watched it. I was so fired up. And that was right when you and I started reconnecting. And I said, hey, can I just text you? No, sorry. I texted you. Hey, do you mind if I call you? Because I know you're into this stuff and I just wanted to. And you're like, dude, how have you been? I haven't heard from you in years. Call me. And I remember that week alone.
Wow.
Three separate nights. I paced this parking lot outside for, what do you think it was? An hour each night, just reminiscing on Endgame that had released a few months earlier, on Far From Home. And then just by the fourth hour of it, realizing like, do you think we should ever talk about this in some other fashion? And this September, I looked it up and we'll go over it in a second. This September is our 5-year anniversary. Who would have ever thought that 5 years later, we'd still be trying to do this? I mean, we said we wanted to be consistent, quality, and you can't fault us for not being consistent. We have tried. I think this is episode number 275 today. That's not including the bonus episodes. So we've showed up to work. We've punched our time card.
That is true. We have not, I think we've only ever missed weeks when we have planned to miss weeks. And I am proud of that.
That is insane. Throughout France, throughout Davenport, Iowa, throughout Breckenridge, we have gotten out front of it enough to, we've never just emergency missed one. In fact, during all of your health issues, we still found a way to pull it off.
True.
One time, I had Matt fill in for you, right? One time?
Yeah. And even when I was in trial, Steven came on and did Mission Impossible.
That's right, for Screensaver, which then actually inspired that Screensaver could be a rotation of hosts, which is kind of cool.
I'm not going to go down this rabbit trail, which I know is always whenever I go down rabbit trails.
So here we go.
But I was thinking about this earlier because in the Deadpool conversation we had, we were talking about Winter Soldier, and that just every time we talk about these past episodes, I love that. It's something about like the it's almost like the same thing as when you hear a song that you associate with a particular time. I can always remember where I was when we recorded whatever episode. And especially with those like Infinity Saga rewatches, because like they were almost, it was almost like a different place every week for a while. And I remember the Winter Soldier one. I was like, we were like house sitting for people that owned a farm, which is such a weird thing that we were doing for like a week, but we were like keeping their farm animals. And I just vividly remember like cramming my mic into the corner of this like literal barn and recording the Winter Soldier episode.
We have been through some stuff. Yeah, we need to do some more of this reflection the first week of September when it's technically 5 years, but
that's true.
Really quick, off the top of your head, what are some of your other favorite podcast memories? Just hit me with a couple highlight memories in the last 5 years. I would say for me, the first thing that comes to my mind every time I say that is the Thor Love and Thunder premiere.
Yeah, sure.
Just the fact that what we had done had grown to a point where we were walking the red carpet with Chris Hemsworth. Like, remember I filmed you, maybe 50 feet from Chris Hemsworth, watching that movie, recording it in the hotel, like walking around Disney. We went to Disneyland. Remember that?
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's like, that was a trip where I'm like, how did we get here? That's probably my favorite podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's hard because there's such different eras. Like there's stuff about, man, I remember
the rewatch from France.
the rewatch was like such a special thing because it was just it all, like we started it and I truly didn't know if we would even make it through phase one. You know, like I just didn't know if it would work and if it would, like, not that I didn't think we were dedicated, but you know, it's like we were trying to get a couple episodes ahead, but we didn't know how they would land or if it would work it in any way. So I just feel like as it slowly unfurled, you know, it was really like everything felt really significant. Like I still remember those conversations like about the Avengers and like the way that like going through it on the original rewatch and then kind of syncing up in certain ways. Like it's just been I think the craziest thing about the entire podcast experience, and this is something that we should save for kind of like an anniversary look back.
But I love it. I'm getting nostalgic.
It is just wild to talk to somebody. I was thinking about this just the other day, like this consistently at this length and like in this depth, not even accounting like the amount of conversations we've had offline about this material, like not even other things in life. Because like, you know, we have friends and family that we're very close to that we communicate with a ton, but to talk about movies exclusively this much with one other person, it's such a wild thing, like a shared link now, where it's like whenever we first started this, I would, like, you and I would be different on so many things. Like we generally liked all these movies we were covering, but the things we would react to were different. But now it's like things that you pointed out in 2019 that just didn't really, like the power levels thing when we started was such a like, this is a Kyle thing and I didn't really care. And now it's like, as we've gone on, I have like adopted your perspective on those things unintentionally, well, but it's same, just by exposure. It's like by osmosis.
Right. Vice versa for me on other stuff, you know. I think our new Mutants episode in Friends from Work Plus last week is such a perfect showcase of that because
it's
osmosis. It's not like we tried to. We literally don't talk to each other before this episode, but I think you know what I'm going to say today probably about Deadpool 2. Like it's happened where we have talked so many hours now that you know basically where I'm coming from in almost everything. Like, I could almost tell you, like, if I watch a movie, I could probably right away walk out of the theater and go, I think this is what Robbie's going to like. This is what he's not going to like about the movie, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
For the most part. I love that.
Yeah.
Also, there's always just at these moments, and then again, we'll save the rest of this for September, but there are these moments where it still hits me sometimes how insane some of this stuff is. And if you're new to this podcast, sorry, this is a bad time for you to walk in and hear us reminisce. But I told you I'm in Davenport, Iowa. There's a pro at a private golf club here that like 2 years ago, I reached out to him from the PGA Tour. I sent an email and said, I'm Kyle Schoenewell. I work for the PGA Tour. Would love to play golf on Wednesday after work, if it's possible. It's a private club. And I'll never forget that they said, oh, we'd love to have you. And I was like, okay. So I went in the pro shop, and the reason they'd love to have me is because the pro that worked at the golf club knew my name from the podcast in Iowa.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm mind blown at the moment. I'm like, you know my podcast, and that's why you're letting me on? Like, that's insane. So just to think about like the full circle of pacing the parking lot, having phone conversations with you, to where now, years later, the guy at the golf course recognized the podcast is absolutely absurd to me. That's not lost on me how insane that is. And that also then insane. Right away, my brain goes back to the WandaVision days, because you and I have always said behind the scenes, and I'm sure people know this now, we kind of have a pre-WandaVision and a post-WandaVision podcast. So when I think about my other favorite memories, WandaVision is such a good memory for me too, because it was the first time you and I were covering new content on a weekly basis,
right,
and our podcast started exploding for us. And so this platform started getting elevated while I was also feeling like, what the heck's going to happen in this show? And like, I need to go back and listen to those episodes again. In fact, I'm going to do that. I want to hear what we sounded like back then, because that was kind of like a turning point for us too. So I view that really fondly as well. Here's the thing. You know how you said, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, and then you did? This is my version of that. I'm not going to say we got to wrap it, because this is going to be a long episode. I just know it is. I have so many notes for Deadpool 2. And so I'm not going to say in closing with 30 minutes to go. I'm just so excited to be here today. And I'm so excited to see your face, even from my hotel room in the middle of Iowa. I'm just excited to be here. Let's get into Deadpool 2, man. I want to kick us off, and then I know you have some specific notes. If you can see this on camera, I have spilled my notes into page 2, which is not normal. I have a lot of notes on this. I want to give an opening thought, and then I'll kick it to you. But I also want to say to all of our new listeners, we have two incredible partners here on Friends from Work that really would like you to check out. Like, this is the time to go check them out. Nerdriot.shop. Get yourself some nerd merchandise. It's the best kind of nerd merchandise. It's the kind of nerd merchandise that if you know, you know. Nerdriot.shop, promo code Friends from Work. If you buy from them or you use the link in our show notes, it really does help support this podcast. So thank you. Shout out to Nerdriot.shop. And shout out to one of our longest partners, Organic Price Books.
Yes.
OrganicPriceBooks.com. Robbie can tell you more about them later as we're going through Deadpool. But they have incredible comic books for cheap. They'll ship to you in a really high quality package, and it's going to be cheaper than Amazon, which is crazy. So use promo code Friends from Work and get yourself some comic books. You win, we win, they win. Everyone wins. Okay, Robbie, this is the reason I led with that. Not only am I feeling nostalgic, you know me so well. I did some research after turning off Deadpool 2, which released in 2018. This is my first time seeing it.
You found out the same thing I found out.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but I want to hear it. Okay. If you're just finding this podcast, we have done so much work to get to this moment right here, because I had never seen Deadpool or Deadpool 2 until right now. So this is me revealing my thoughts for the first time ever to Robbie. I intentionally did not text you, and I swear I'm going to shut up here in a second, but you know me so well. I looked on Rotten Tomatoes. This movie and Deadpool have essentially the exact same critic score. I think it's 85 and 84. So I can totally see how, from a critical perspective, remove the preference, how they're basically the same movie. It's still a good movie doing a lot of stuff well. But man, from a preference standpoint, it's almost no contest. This movie is infinitely better, in my opinion, or at least a large step up from Deadpool 1. I liked Deadpool 1, but when you listen to last week's episode, you can probably tell I don't have the same energy that I have right now. I have this energy, not just from the nostalgia, but because this movie freaking ruled. And I have so many reasons, a page of notes on why that was, but I do want you to know that this was way more my scene. And you and I talked offline. My dad, your wife, Candace, are very much origin story people. Mm. And they love origin stories. I think you and I just tend to actually lean the other direction. We like the sequels. We like the team-up films. We like to get the origin story out of the way. And then what kind of fun stories can you tell with the character? There are a lot of reasons I like that. I like the feeling of, I don't know if Deadpool's going to die, although I know they're making a new one, but I don't know what's going to happen to these characters. And whereas you don't think that's going to happen as much in the origin story. So when you factor in the fact that I think the humor and all that stuff was more my up my alley. Also, the fact that it's not an origin story, this is totally my scene. So I'm going to shut up now.
I love
it.
Go
ahead.
No, man, I love it so much. We ended last episode and I said I was really excited for you to watch Deadpool 2 because I remembered liking it a good bit more. But I always, you know, I know a lot of people that don't feel that way. Like I said then, I don't think anyone really views it as a step down. Like, I don't think people are like, oh man, it went south at the second one. But I do think certain people would prefer the first, like clearly prefer the first. And I just like, so I came into this thinking, okay, I feel like it's not going to be worse than the first one, but I'm curious how much better. And I had the exact same experience where, like, I had a great time watching the first one, but I also remember the point in the first one when I was like, oh yeah, this is the thing about this movie that didn't quite land for me. Like, these are the elements that are just, like, they're fine. Nothing's bad, but they're not, like, really checking all the boxes. And I just so rarely have those moments with the second one. But I realized here there are like three big categories for me. We don't have to go through them in this way, but I do think that it makes it, I was trying to make sense of what I liked about this movie so much more. And that's how I was able to translate it. But I'm kind of curious to see what your manuscript over there says.
No, give me your first category. And I bet my notes follow that.
Okay, so the first thing for me is, and we kind of previewed this last week, I think the humor is just much smarter in this movie.
That's exactly what I was going to start with.
Okay, I love it.
Okay, here's the full transparency behind the scenes. You and I recorded last week's episode. Took us about an hour. You and I stayed on the phone after we hit stop for about 30 minutes. And we talked about this a little bit, about how, and we talked about some on the episode, some of the humor in last week's episode, it just, I would say, is classified as a little bit low-hanging fruit. Yeah. It's not that the humor here is any cleaner or that we're against making a dick joke here or there.
Yeah.
But I will say, those kinds of jokes, the masturbation, dick jokes, like all of that is way toned down on that front. There are still other jokes, but it does come across as it's just way more clever. Like you said, like it's not low hanging fruit. Some of the jokes are actually well thought out. And I have so many examples of them, but 100% that's where I wanted to start. I don't even know. I get they're both comedies. They're doing very similar things. But the humor alone makes it way more my scene, just straight
and
up.
And I want to hear, because I don't have a ton of specific example. I have a few that I wanted to highlight if you don't highlight them. But before we jump into that, I that point you made, I think, is so important, because when you're talking about movies that are either like an R-rated comedy or really like an R-rated horror movie, I think can both, they have to toe this line of like, what is like in the horror sense, it's like, is that shocking in a way that is actually like that is shocking, like that actually affects you? Or is that just something on the screen that seems extreme? Like those are different reactions. Like it's one thing whenever you have like a, like the shower curtain pulled back psycho moment. It's something else when you just see someone's like leg being sawed in half in a Saw movie. Like those are different. One is like really mastering suspense and the other is just trying to see if they can make you like feel kind of sick. But both can be described as like bold, you know, like bold moments. And I think comedy,
you're
so
good at putting words to this. So keep going. You're so much better at this. I love it.
Well, I think that point you're making is it's really important in the comedy context, because I think sometimes when you say you don't like the humor in this first Deadpool movie doesn't resonate, it can come off as though you're like a Boy Scout, or it's like,
yes, I'm not trying to be.
Right. Well, but I think that is kind of like a cop out for the jokes, just like you're saying, like not being that good. Like it's the jokes that you thought were funny when you're in fourth grade. It's not that they're like dirty or not dirty, but it is that just saying the word "but" is funny when you're, you know, like nine. And
right. Yes.
You can make like a funny joke about someone's butt, like when you're, you know, in your 30s, but it's not, like just saying that word is not itself the funny thing anymore. Like you now have to find this thing and then do something creative with it and kind of like surprise and delight the audience. And so that to me is like, that's what's going on in this movie from a high level. Like I feel like I was constantly being surprised and delighted by the jokes.
Here's a really weird example too. One of our other favorite comedies, The Other Guys, which might be the high bar for comedy for both you and I. Mm-hmm. There's one line that always sticks out to me. And by the way, I'm going to repeat some jokes from Deadpool. This is a family-friendly podcast, but I have to repeat some of the jokes as is. And so maybe if you're an 8-year-old listening to this podcast, there might be some things you don't want to listen to at this point, okay? But
fair.
There's a line in The Other Guys where he goes, someone busts in and goes, "I hope you like prison food and penis." And it's kind of funny, but that line always sticks out to me because that feels like what a lot of Deadpool 1 is. Like throwing that in there is the funny bit. Whereas for me, there are equally as inappropriate jokes about like his wife that to me make me laugh way harder and seem less forced, or they're more clever. Like I would always err more towards the lion and the tuna thing, or when he's taking a picture of Sam Jackson and he says, "I'm gonna shove my hand so far up your ass, I'm gonna work your mouth like a puppet." And he's like still taking the picture. Like that to me is the clever humor versus that penis joke. And so like the first movie feels like a lot more of that penis joke. This movie feels like a lot more of the lion versus tuna stuff. Like, for example, this is just unbelievably funny. When Deadpool says he's describing the kid and he goes, "anger issues, small learning disability, and a splash of diabetes." Yeah. Using "splash of diabetes" made me laugh so hard to myself. Uh-huh. That's the kind of humor I like. That feels like Michael Scott almost. That feels like almost Tony Stark a little bit. But to use "splash" and "diabetes" together, that's what this movie had. And I'm going to say something here again, if you're an 8-year-old, don't, you know. But I was crying laughing when his friend kept saying, "you're just sitting here shirt cocking it." I've never heard shirt cocking it. But that whole thing.
So that scene I thought was such a fascinating example of what we're talking about here, because it's basically just a redux of the little hand scene. But that is one scene in the first movie that I don't dislike, but it never makes me laugh. Like I watched that entire scene when I was rewatching the first movie, not stone-faced, but not like it didn't get any response from me. There were several times during the little leg scene where I actually was laughing out loud.
I was laughing. I was at work, by the way. Probably not a movie you should watch at work, but I was literally tearing up in my truck because. And then, like, here's another one. His friend the cab driver, and why am I blanking on his name right now?
Oh,
like
Dopinder.
Wanting to be a killer. Like when he's confessing, like, you got to find something in life. And then when later in the movie, they circle back on it. You don't even realize he's in the bar. And Deadpool is saying, I need to put together a team, but they need to be young enough to carry a franchise. And then Dopinder says, my body is an instrument of death. And they're like looking at him like, not now. That kind of stuff to me, so funny here.
When Peter comes in and he's like, I have no superpowers. I just saw this ad and thought it seemed really interesting and decided to come check it out. And he's like, you're in. And Dopinder's like, God damn.
Yeah. When Dopinder's pissed about it. Peter. Okay. That's a perfect joke. Okay. That's another one. Let's analyze. The high winds advisory is an unbelievable joke that they keep doubling down on. That to me is because here's the thing. It still turns out really inappropriate. They all get like gored and in horrific ways, but it's funny because it's based on like the cleverness of the high winds and they should have calculated that better. That to me is my humor right there. It's no less inappropriate or no less appropriate.
Yeah. I mean the whole like, That whole gag is
Peter. Like, when it zooms in on Peter parachuting,
it takes so much commitment to the bit to like bring in these actors. Did you catch who the
it's Brad Pitt, right? Is that what you're gonna say?
Yeah, Vanisher, I think is his name.
Yeah, they got a cameo of Brad Pitt. I took that note.
And did you see the other cameo? Or I mean one of the other cameos, the Matt Damon one?
Wait, where was Matt Damon? Oh my gosh.
So there's like almost no way to recognize him unless you just know that it's him.
Okay.
He's the guy sitting on the back of the truck bed, explaining his like wiping process to the other guy.
Oh, that's
whenever
him?
Cable first goes back. That's Matt Damon.
I didn't know that at all. Oh my gosh.
He's under a ton of makeup. But yeah, it's like there's stuff like that in this movie that is also just like even that is it's like evoking Ragnarok, you know, where it's like,
yeah, here's another one.
That one space that like that really narrow space that I think is hard for the superhero comedy. Sorry. That's hard for these superhero comedies to stay in.
When he says, isn't that Canada? And then he immediately goes, you shut your GD trash mouth. I love trash mouth so much. The word trash mouth, I'm going to use that. Obviously, the DC jokes were amazing. His mother was named Martha, too.
Oh, turned the out, Martha, he said. Man.
He goes, oh, you're so dark. Are you sure you're not from the DC universe? There was all kinds of good Marvel shout outs too. Like, Thanos. And then how about this one? I told my wife about this one, Annika, cause she would love this when he says, hey, big guy, sun's getting real low.
Oh, right before
Juggernaut throws him off.
Man, it's so crazy that this came out the same year as Infinity War. Like what a crazy year for Josh Brolin.
Yeah. Wild. Okay, so then I'm going to transition us to, I think, I'm just guessing, we have not prepped this, what your second point's going to be, okay?
But can I name two more things and humor that I wanted to
please,
flag?
Please.
One, the Passion of the Christ joke was so good.
Oh, like, was that the movie of the same year?
Yeah, well, whenever he's like, now people talk about me like I'm Jesus, and then he like, compares like the domestic and international box office of The Passion of the Christ and Deadpool. And then
he says something like, we did better overseas or whatever. Yeah.
Right. The other thing that I noticed this time, because I was curious what the numbers were, whenever he's doing the diagram of like their plan for X-Force and he's drawing it in crayon, like he gives Russell like the little stick figure an inmate number. And I looked it up and the inmate number is the same that Hugh Jackman's character in Les Mis, Jean Valjean, has famously. And so it's like they're like the layers of Hugh Jackman jokes that are baked into this movie are also like, again, it's taking what you and I both thought was one of the funnier things in the first movie. And yes, like even the very beginning with like the music box rotating with the like Logan death. It's like there are just there are so many ways that they go about it.
Shouldn't we have watched Logan before this then, timeline wise? That was my first thought at that first sequence.
No, so that's the hard thing. I think, I mean, it's a release order versus chronological order thing because what's hard about Deadpool is there's the timeline within the movie and then there's like the meta timeline. So he's commenting on the release of the movie, but I don't think that the events of Logan are supposed to have occurred prior to this movie.
All right, two other jokes real fast. Well, I'm going to do three real fast. I love the running bit that Cable's racist for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't do anything. Right, like at the very end when he says, start judging people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And he's like, what? Like, when did I ever? And then I thought
Josh
Cable
Brolin's
in general,
such a great straight man.
Yeah.
Through the whole, like that duo works so well that it also makes me really excited for the same kind of pairing in Deadpool and Wolverine.
Well, and on the Josh Brolin front, at the very end when Deadpool's doing all those fake deaths, none of the fake deaths per se like got me laughing out loud, but Josh Brolin just has one big exhale that made me laugh. Like it's like paying to all his friends. And finally, like on the third time it pains him, he goes, and I like laughed out loud. Like there's a few things like that.
No, I like Josh Brolin. I always forget can be so funny. Like, I think you and I have talked about that. It was like the Actors on Actors that he did where whoever he was supposed to do it with canceled. So he just like interviews himself.
Yes.
Like we literally get zero of that in Thanos.
That is so funny.
Like it's like, it's a character of maybe of every Marvel character. Like Loki has some humor to him. Ultron has some humor. Thanos is like humorless.
For sure.
Which is great. Like it makes the villain feel really significant, but it also makes me forget how much he like has this in him. And this movie, it's just like, again, he's still playing the straight man, but the timing is really excellent. And it like, the injection of that dynamic, I think, another huge improvement over the first movie because there wasn't a character, like the only character we kind of had like that was like Ajax really was the one that like Wade was kind of bouncing off of and then kind of Colossus, but that's a different thing. And yeah, man, the Josh Brolin thing was just such a win, but that's the last thing I needed to say on the humor front.
If our listeners out there have not seen Josh Brolin interviewing himself, please go look it up. It's only a few minutes, and it is comedy.
It's so good.
And it was spur of the moment because his other counterpart didn't show up for the interview. Okay, I'm going to transition us to what I think is going to be your second point after a quick word from these sponsors. Okay, so you can stop me if this is not your second point. We talked about the humor being a step up, but this is what I think is so beautiful. It's kind of the anti-Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in so many ways, in that not only do I think the humor was actually more clever and almost like reined in. We talk about how like Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is so funny because it has a filter on James Gunn in a good way.
Like, yeah.
Stuff doesn't go fully off the rails. This feels a little tighter in general from a humor perspective, but here's the thing. You would think then that because it's funnier, that means it doesn't know how to ever be serious. Ding, ding, ding. Incorrect.
Yeah.
What's amazing about this movie, and I think your second point, is that not only is it funnier, it actually lets you sit in the heavier moments for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Just what I wanted to have happen from the first movie. So it's also more emotional. The death sequence actually really works. They don't make a bit. And then even the jokes that Wade is making in his depression, they're funny jokes, but they're not jokes that pull you out of his depression. Like you're laughing because it's funny, but you're not forgetting the fact that like you're not perceiving that he's moved on. He's still, even though he's being funny, he's being depressed. And
yeah,
so like there's a good chunk for like maybe 30 minutes where I just really appreciated how they handled her death.
Yeah. That is funny. Yeah. My second point was like more heart, and more layered characters. That's the, like, I realized the problem with the first Deadpool for me, which is not really a problem. It's just the thing that makes it not land as well from my particular perspective is that I'm not like, there's nothing for me to latch onto. Like I don't care about Wade as a person. So the things that work in that movie for me are either the action sequences, which we talked about, or the jokes that are really funny. But the Wade Vanessa stuff never quite, like, framing that entire first movie as a love story is kind of a risky thing, because if the love story doesn't work, then there's not really an emotional hook. And for me, the love story there doesn't, again, it doesn't fail. It's not like a flop by any means, but it's like, it doesn't work any better than that did when they tried to do it in the first two Thor movies. It's just kind of this like thing that's out there. We just met both of these characters. They're intentionally like their whole relationship is kind of founded on them both being scummy people. And that's the joke, which like that doesn't keep me from caring about them, but it does mean that like they're expecting you to be able to turn on a dime from like, oh, these people are so dark and have these like, you know, really disgusting past or however you want to look at it. And then like all of a sudden you need to get really real. And again, it works sometimes, but I don't feel like enough work is done there on the front end for me to care about the relationship as much as I need to for the back of the movie to pay off. Whereas here, because like at least we have the whole first movie of development for Wade, I kind of understand where we're meeting him. And now I understand both his motivation. I understand what like the loss of that relationship does versus just the kind of like, I'm pissed at the way all this worked out and I'm kind of taking revenge, but also trying to fix my face. But also like, I haven't talked to this girl that I'm in love with because I'm afraid of the way she's going to see my face, but also she's the most important person to me. So I don't know,
totally agree.
You know, it's like here, it's just like it, the emotional stakes feel clear, but I think the biggest thing is this movie gives Wade like a legitimate hero's journey, or starts him on one. Like that's the other thing with the first film.
Oh gosh.
It ends.
I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, the X-Men trainee thing was so funny.
Like
first sequence when they're sorry. You said hero's journey and start someone. Yeah, but that was so funny to me.
Yeah.
Keep going.
No, I think it's just we see now what he is that he is trying to be a certain kind of person. And I like the moment where he thinks he's, you know, Vanessa's saying his heart has to be in the right place. And so he's trying to orient himself in that direction and figuring out what that means. And that's kind of part of him figuring out like how to be a quote unquote hero, but in a way that never feels not Deadpool. Like, I think that's the really impressive thing is it's like, it can be heartwarming and I still buy that it's the same character. Like, it's not one of these situations where it's like they've so softened him. Like Guardians 2, like kind of what you could say about Drax from like the first film to the second, where he goes from being someone that like is kind of a hard ass to someone that's always making turd jokes, like you say. So it's like, again, it's just this really fine line that I think this movie does a really remarkable job of towing when it comes to like bringing out these character moments in Wade, but also like Cable has like a backstory that I buy into. Like Russell has a backstory that I buy into. Even Domino, who like they barely develop at all. You get that little bit at the end where you realize that like she was raised in a similar place and that this is personal for her too. Like it is surprisingly heartfelt for a Deadpool movie, which is maybe why I like it, because I'm the Captain America guy.
Well, not to mention the scenes we do get with Vanessa are better. They just are.
Oh,
like
for sure.
Actually getting to hear them talk about the children and the kids, like that's part of the reason the death became so heartbreaking, is because of the conversation they were having. But then the scene in the like purgatory heaven type thing as well.
Yeah.
Was also just way more moving, and they still joke a little bit, but it just didn't feel as forced to me. So ditto to everything you said, but also they were just better when they were together.
There are times where Reynolds really, like, he's pulling from a different, like, from a place that I don't think we really saw in the first movie. Like, and sometimes it can be a tad much for me. Like, there are a few times where I feel like he's laying it on a little too thick, but generally it's like I think in this movie I'm okay with them erring on that side, because I think it's almost when he does land it, it works well enough that it actually makes me care about this character and kind of where he's going and what he wants, which is the thing that makes you like a movie or not like a movie, I think.
The Drax thing is so crazy. When you brought that up, I'm thinking, yeah, it's like you forget that Drax was introduced as like this terrifying person. Like, don't piss this guy off. And then, yeah, he has some jokes with the metaphor and all that stuff, but you still forget that he has those lines like, and then in the end, I'll see my wife and daughter again. And you're like, oh, that's why he's fighting for this in particular, blah, blah, blah. And then, man, the second movie is a lot of like, her jokes and I'm going to jump into this monster and just slash it just cause, and no reference to his, I don't know. It does feel like a different character. Okay. So this movie, we both think, has a little more humor and a little more heart. I'm interested to hear what your third final bracket is. Bucket.
So I think it is just more fun visually, because it's kind of more, like, it feels more like a superhero X-Men movie. Like, the domino sequences are really fun. I love the way Cable looks. Like, I think we have some really cool scenes there. Juggernaut, like, this compared to the Juggernaut we got in X3. Like, even the scene of him, like, ripping Wade in half. Oh, gosh. I feel like there are parts of this movie that... that look like they're pulled straight from a comic book in a great way. Which we've talked about how there are other entries in the X-Men franchise that were going for that in a way that I think really missed. But this is like, again, it's so weird, Kyle, like as we're getting to the end of this X-Men journey, whenever I had always thought, man, like X-Men was really great at the very start and then had a flash of greatness with Days of Future Past and another with Logan. Like, I'm realizing towards the end here, it's just weird because it was kind of a doomed enterprise at that point as they were trying to figure out what the Disney transfer was going to look like. But between some of those, the other movies we've talked about that came out, you know, 2018 on, they were giving us some really fun X-Men stuff. Like, this is another example of like, yeah, like Colossus fighting Juggernaut. That's awesome.
Yeah. We just didn't care. Because of what was happening with Infinity War and whatnot. But yeah, you're right. No doubt. I don't know that I would, the visuals in particular didn't stick out to me from just like a cinematography standpoint, but I am with you on just the fun tie-ins in that way, like to see Juggernaut, but also like, it was fun. Come on. It was fun to get the one cameo, even though I think it was green screened, of the whole old X-Men team. When he's like, no one's ever here.
Right. Yeah.
Where is everybody? And then they close the door and the whole team is in there, which is amazing. That might have been a recycled shot from something else. And they just put him in.
Although
front of
I do like, you know, one thing that's nice about our watch order versus release order is this maybe a rare example of them trying to actually stick with a timeline, because you'll notice that Jennifer Lawrence is not in that shot. When this movie came out, it was before Dark Phoenix, so that death would not have happened yet, but timeline-wise, it should have happened yet. So even though, again, it makes no sense that all these people look essentially unchanged.
Yeah, correct. 60s. Age-wise makes no sense.
at least they're like sticking with some, like there's a, like I would not have been surprised at all if they just have Jennifer Lawrence there because nobody there cared. But that, I appreciated that. And I should clarify, like when I say more fun visually, I don't mean like the effects or the actual like mechanics of it. Okay. I just mean that the first movie was primarily Deadpool fighting a bunch of other dudes with like guns and swords. And so it was really fun seeing more really superhero cool, yeah. sure. stuff. Like I liked seeing, again, which is also just me as a, that's a preference thing. I'm always wanting to see somebody in a costume.
No, I'm with you. And in general, all of those references were dialed up and that was fun. I brought up some of them with the Thanos stuff. The sun's getting real low. There's a Winter Soldier yeah. shout out. Like, when are we going to get tired of the bionic arm thing or something?
Yeah. He says like Winter Soldier arm specifically.
Yep.
I,
which is really fun. And then, by the way, we'll follow up on this in a second, but then the post-credit sequence too, like going back and shooting yeah. the origins version of himself
right.
like seven times is kind of a funny statement. The Green Lantern shooting Ryan Reynolds before he takes Green Lantern is yeah. such a mean joke, but like really good to himself.
I mean, I remembered the origins one. I had forgotten about the Green Lantern joke, but it makes the way we opened last episode so appropriate. Or I guess the way that we were talking in our Deadpool kind of hype prep episode.
Oh yeah.
I talking about Juggernaut, the other random joke that made me laugh is when he's like walking off screen and talking with Russell and it's like two back and forths. And Russell's like, so you have to wear that helmet because your half brother is trying to read your mind. And he's like, yeah, but he's in a wheelchair. So even Steven.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, I don't know if you know that Juggernaut's supposed to be Professor X's half-brother, but that is the, like, in the comics, the relationship.
Well, I assume that's what he was. I assume that's what he was joking about, but I didn't know. I guess I didn't know that directly. I didn't put that together, really. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. But I like that made me laugh, which then made me do something that I looked up who plays Juggernaut. Did you look at this?
No.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
Wait, really?
Yeah, he did the voice and like the facial, like the mocap whenever it came to like the facial expressions. Which granted, like the helmet covers up a lot. I don't think he did any of the, like some Sean Gunn type person came in and did the actual like physical okay. movements. But yeah, kind of a fun, like I appreciate, that's one of my big takeaways from this movie in general, because Reynolds is also a credited writer on this one. And okay. it's like the two writers from the first film plus him. And then seeing him get involved like so much with the, like the Juggernaut stuff, and then even with the post credit scenes like you're talking about, like I just feel like the added Reynolds here is a huge win. Like it seems to me that like his fingerprints on this are like they're on a lot of the stuff that I think works really well for me.
We are going to preview Deadpool and Wolverine, certainly on this podcast. We may have an episode previewing it before we've seen it. And if not that, we'll probably have an episode having already seen it as a spoiler-free preview. So we'll get into some of that for sure, because Reynolds is a writer on that one too, right? The new one, I think.
I think so.
I think he's even a step more involved on this one, like part of all the editing and everything. Partially directing.
Wow, yeah.
It's also fascinating that on this new one, we're going with a different director. So I'm curious why. I know they're friends, but was something okay. not working with these two?
But did you see who the second director was here?
It's the same guy.
No, I'm saying I thought
the first two.
I think last episode I said I think it was the same director. It is the same writers, and those same writers are now on the new one as well, plus Seb Wells, like we said. It is a different director for the second movie, and it actually makes a ton of sense why you and I like it so much.
No, hold on. I thought it was the same director. You said that, and then I looked it up, and I thought I confirmed it.
No, No. First director, I think, was
something
Tim
Miller.
Miller?
Right? Tim Miller, yeah.
Second director is David Leitch, who directed The Fall Guy. Which I bring up because I feel like you and I both really enjoyed that
movie.
Is
that right?
Do you think I'm lying to you?
Well, it makes so much sense, though, because I do like a lot of the decisions more here.
Like, and he also did the first John Wick movie, which is why you get that joke here about like one of the guys that killed John Wick's dog.
The dog, yeah. Why? So you think it's more just reasonable that they change for the new one just because they haven't stuck with one the whole time anyways? We'll talk about previewing that film in a separate episode, but I do, as it pertains to Deadpool 2, want to talk a little bit more about what I kicked off the entire episode on.
Yeah.
Which is just now that we know everything, as far as I'm caught up. I've now seen as much as you. I am curious to hear if you have any theories now that I was not able to talk about when the trailer first came out. Because, okay, so we talked about the time travel in this with Josh Brolin's character, Cable, uh-huh. which, by the way, shout out X97. Yeah. That's where I learned about that. I was a little bit surprised that he decided to stay, even though his family was safe, that he didn't go back, just because that was the motivational core. Why stay, first of all? Do you have an answer to that, or just he wants to
do something fun? I also, like, wasn't there one – and I can't figure out how we're supposed to view this, but wasn't like Colossus was about to try to break the collar off of Deadpool so he could heal from the bullet wound. And he's like, no, don't, I want this. And then, like, I guess I didn't understand if Colossus could have broken it off if he proceeded, or if that would have somehow like, is there a failsafe where it kills the mutant if they break it off or something?
Or maybe you can't break it off. Just physically?
Yeah, I mean, but it was interesting to me that they showed that to where it then kind of made the death feel intentional to me. Like, it was what he wanted.
Was it before the bunny changed texture and color, or after? Had we already got confirmation that the bunny was back to being healthy, a la Brolin's family was saved?
Yeah, I think we had.
Okay. Because that's my thought then, is like, if the bunny was still all ashes, maybe Deadpool knew it still hadn't been enough to change the kid's perspective yet. So like, don't break this off.
Oh,
me. Like,
he
needs to see the death all the way through for the kid to fully believe it and then not turn dark. Maybe.
Yeah.
But if they had already confirmed it, then, or maybe Deadpool didn't know that though. Maybe he didn't know that he had fixed it already.
But I thought he says like, hey, look at the bear. Like, isn't that, but. No, that's a good – I mean, I think the easiest explanation is probably just that Colossus couldn't have gotten it off anyway. Like, I think that you would have to make those – like, if you're going to operate in this world where you can have, like, mutant power dampening collars, I think you would just kind of have to assume that a really strong guy can't come and break them off, because that would be an easy out. Like, maybe it is like the – like, they have to malfunction like it did whenever it first went off. It's not something to get caught up on. It just made that whole thing a little like, did Cable have to, like, couldn't he have just found a way to get the collar off and let Wade heal and not use his, like, last charge to go back and save Wade? Because that's why I think that's the answer to your question. He says, like, I stuck around because I, you know, want to make sure everything turns out well. And Wade's like, no, you did it for me. And he's like, no, I really didn't. But I think he did. Like, the idea is, it's too. Like, so I think that's, but again, I just am trying to figure out if that was like, it was weird that they made it seem like it was an intentional sacrifice of Wade's that Cable then undoes, versus it being like a legitimate death that can't be prevented unless they go back in time. That was the only like kind of question mark for me.
Well, and this is why I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe and their ability to follow up on details, because, I mean, I get that when you watch a movie like Deadpool 2, it's not all about the details and the plot. And there are some things you're going to have to headcanon. And mostly it's an action comedy. So as long as you're right. having fun and not thinking too hard about it, you're okay. But I did think like, okay, so if Deadpool was able to fix that device that easily, couldn't Brolin then at that point in the post-credit sequence just use it to go back then to his family? But right. also, the whole point of the post-credit sequence was to be really willy-nilly about the fact that he can just now go wherever he wants and change whatever he wants. And there's no repercussions right. and there's no – like in the trailer of the new one, everyone's back. And, you know, the death from his yeah. fiance means nothing anymore. And so like without the new movie – I think it would be pretty tempting to be like, okay, so was all of that kind of just worthless? The fact that he just
gets I actually remember that's such a good point. I remember feeling that way whenever I left the theaters. Like, I loved the movie for all the reasons we've talked about, but I was kind of like, you undid all of the plot right. points.
Right. And he's doing it to be funny. That's the whole point. But it's so willy-nilly that it's like, oh, wait, in the post-credit sequence, you're saying none of this matters right. anymore because as long as he gets this one device, he can do whatever he wants. But then this is what I mean. Just the fact that Marvel Studios then picks up and has the cojones to go, oh, you know what? Now that we own the rights of this, this actually ties in perfectly because he's breaking a rule that we set. You can't do this stuff. You can't just bounce right. around and do whatever you want. So if that's how the movie picks up, that's so sick to me. Like if the TVA is picking up for that reason, and now what if like, I don't know what, I can't theorize, but what if in the TVA they're like, you either need to set everything back to how it was where Vanessa's dead again, or you got to like do this for us, or you need to like, you've created this yeah. thing and now you need to close the loophole that you've created by doing this and it's going to cost you Vanessa or it's going to cost, you know, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
But I just love them following up on that. It's it's officially it's a mashup of our worlds now, finally.
Yeah. I like remembered that, and I don't think that I realized, like, even the way that she says after he like takes the repair device, she's like, oh my gosh, what have we done? Like, even that is such a great unintentional tease for Deadpool and Wolverine and like the TVA to show up. Like I really,
but that's on Marvel Studios, right? Because there's no way they totally. Knew at
yeah,
that moment.
That was not planned. Yeah.
Right, exactly. They didn't know at that yeah. moment, like, hey, in 6 years, we're going to come back to this. No, that's Marvel Studios going, okay, how can we implement it? Hey,
yeah.
He in the post-credit sequence, he broke some rules, you know?
Dude, the whole thing to me is like, I know you and I have talked about from the very beginning the dangers of the multiverse thing when it comes to storytelling and just making sure that you're not devaluing things.
Right.
And that is such a risk. It's something that shows up in comics. It's something that shows up in TV and movies. Like it's like once you've lost
that. People have been feeling that a little bit at this point.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And in fairness, not, I think, for the reasons that we were maybe afraid of, which was like, you know, if we have 1,000 Tony Starks, then does Tony's death matter? Like, I think that would have been my fear. Now I think part of it has been, you know, just a general maybe aimlessness when it comes to the way that stuff is set up and how it impacts things. But if No Way Home was a fun, like, I guess No Way Home to me, it felt very much like a straight up plot device, you know, like let's get these Spider-Men and villains into our universe. And it was such a perfect way for kind of a reinvention of that character. But like, I think what I love the most about No Way Home is still the Tom Holland story primarily, like the personal aspects of it and the way that all that plays into it. This is the most I think I've actually been excited about the multiverse, like that as a plot element, because this works so well. Like, you're right. Like, now I love that it's not like, okay, we have a multiverse, so we can just go back and go grab whatever character from like Ghost Rider and bring them in because now we can travel the multiverse. Like, I like instead that they've set it up such that the actions of Wade in that universe that we've seen in that movie now bring him into the like into contact with characters from the MCU. Like it feels two-sided.
Do you think you'll hear the word incursion in this new film? Do you think there's a chance that Wade time traveled so much that he is creating a incursion, and that's why he says to Logan, like, you failed your universe, but don't fail mine. Like, maybe like in between Deadpool 2 and here, he did the time travel stuff so many times. Maybe he just did a bunch of junk.
Yeah, dude, maybe. I mean, because we do get like, there's like a shot of the void, right? But there's also a shot of.
Well, what's he doing there?
Well, and like the, and like areas that, because I rewatched Multiverse of Madness recently as we were putting together this kind of multiverse watch order. And, you know, when he goes to the universe that's been hit by an incursion, there's all the kind of floating debris and everything. That, you know, the scenes when he's like standing in front of the 20th Century Fox logo, I could see that that's a world that's been impacted by an incursion. Man, I hope so. That would be such a like an infusion into the MCU for people to come and have a movie that's so fun and has so much life in it and brings these characters together, but also really tangibly moves this narrative forward. Like, I think that would be a massive win on like a meta level and story-wise, because the incursion thing has been like set up in Multiverse of Madness. And then I really love that in Quantumania, Kang is like endless incursions. And to him, that's still like the worst case scenario. Like, if that is the threat, I want to start seeing that as the threat. You know, like, I want to see if that, if it doesn't, I'm sure, you know, I think I saw some lines from Sean Levy.
Well, like, think about this for a second. Why else would the TVA recruit Wade? I understand that the TVA would arrest him originally if he was breaking the rules, but why in the trailer do they say things like he makes the joke about being the Marvel Jesus and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, why does he have to save anything? If it was just something he created, a la what we've been talking about from the post-credit sequence of Deadpool 2. So I do wonder if, like, could that be an answer? That an incursion's being created, and so if you don't help, your universe is going to now die because of stuff you've done, and they're just playing it off where he's like, I'm the savior, although he's also the cause of it kind of thing. And by the way, you know, we talk about the multiverse thing. Not always included in the multiverseness of it is time travel, which is not exactly the same thing as a different universe that we're talking about. And so he's time traveling in Deadpool 2. And again, just to reiterate this, because it's a comedy and an action comedy, they can play that off in the post-credit sequence as a joke. But for a second, can you imagine if it wasn't a comedy? Let's say you take you watch all of Civil War, or you watch all of Infinity War. The equivalent would be like you watch all of that, and then in the post-credit sequence, they're like, oh, this device actually just works, and they go back and Thanos doesn't do it. And they go back, and just like in a 30-second thing, you're like, oh, so Civil War, like none of that mattered? Right. Like Cap signed the Accords or whatever, and like you would be pissed off. But because it's a comedy, they can get away with it. And so I actually think if it is tied in it at all because of that, that is genius, because otherwise – that's a pretty kind of lame plot point, basically.
There are two things there. Like, one, I'm curious to see how, like, again, when this movie came out. Also, again, this came out in the X-Men universe, right? And we talked whenever we were talking about Days of Future Past about how there's a different time travel theory in Days of Future Past than in Endgame. And that obviously there was never any thought that those things would converge when those movies were being made. But Deadpool 2 then falls in a really interesting spot where if that is what causes the TVA to find him, then that means that whatever he was doing, whatever Cable's device did, somehow does relate to the same way that they were able to travel through the quantum realm in the Avengers. So I'm curious if we get, again, the beauty of Deadpool is they can address that stuff and hand wave it and then never deal with it again. And no one's going to, like, if it were a totally serious movie and you had to integrate all the parts of like these different film universes, it would be kind of tortured and overdone and unnecessary. but they can kind of take in what they want and leave the rest. But I am curious if we get some kind of time travel, like unified theory from these two universes. The second thing that I hadn't thought about until what you just said, thinking of Days of Future Past, the whole bit there is the only person that Kitty could send back was Logan because of his healing power. And I'm wondering, like, is that why Wade? Like, is that why Wade and Logan are the ones that can do whatever travel and like, are they uniquely able to withstand whatever mission the TVA needs done because of their healing abilities, maybe?
Yeah, both of them? Yeah, maybe. Which is a sick idea.
That is, like, their shared superpower.
I'm going to ask you the same question really quickly off topic because you just said that I asked you for Wolverine. Can Wade die without some kind of like collar restricting his powers? Let me rephrase that. Can Deadpool die? Is there a way to actually kill him, you think? Like Ajax says in the first movie, if you chopped him into like infinite amount of pieces and then spread his brain all in the ocean across the ocean and then like drowned his brain, could you get rid of him? Or would, if one cell is alive, it would come back?
I feel like again, it's hard because it just depends on the iteration. Because
he literally got ripped in half here.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like in the original Deadpool or like the original Uncanny X-Men comics, the Wolverine showed up in, or even like the animated show, his healing power means like, I mean, kind of like the way it was in the first X-Men movie, you know, like you see him get a cut and then he's laying up, but it starts to heal more quickly.
Right.
And by the end, you know, it's like we joke about Jean like stripping molecules away from his body and them healing as fast as she can disintegrate. So it like, go all over the place. But I think like I would, if you were to like put like a bullet squarely through their brains and it like they like their heads explode, I would think that that would kill both of those people. Now, again, there's like an ultimate universe story where I think like Wolverine's head is like the only thing that's left and his whole body grows out of that. And I guess that's kind of what happens with Deadpool here from his torso.
I think the answer is the answer has to be yes. Otherwise, you don't have a good story. Like there has to be some way that they can meet their demise. And maybe it is through the use of like a collar, for example, or I did think it was interesting that as soon as they removed his powers, he instantly jumped right back into cancer, coughing, like about to die. He didn't like slowly regress. It was like within a day, he's back to where he was with stage 4. That's kind of a unique variable that we don't really have with Logan. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the answer. But we've never seen Logan like get ripped in half and then just grow new legs, a la that joke scene we were talking about. And they grow back exactly how it was, which is kind of funny. Like, so even if you shattered him to a million pieces, his skin would grow back with the same deformities, not as fresh skin anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's, that's kind of
goofy, but
yeah,
I think if they ever just established the rule, it'd help my brain a little bit, just barely, you know, like if they established like it's possible and then I'll go from there.
In general,
which they kind of were doing just, the collar.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that I think it's an interesting character element that like he can heal from anything, but he is hideously deformed and can't heal from that. Like it's this like, and that mutation is the thing that allows him to heal from things where like on the one hand, it doesn't really make any sense to me because it seems like if you have a healing power, it would heal you of that deformity, but I kind of appreciate them just leaning into the paradox.
Right. And I like that because I was actually going to bring that up 5 minutes ago when I was thinking about the new trailer, like, okay, he's got this new time travel device. Why not just go back and fix your skin? But then I was like, well, obviously he can't because then he wouldn't have his powers. So I guess what he's saying is it's better to have the healing powers and be Deadpool. As long as Vanessa still loves me for who I am, who cares?
Yeah.
Than to go all the way back to pre-cancer, pre-powers, and just be a regular Wade, which is fascinating too. So I like that being a thing. I'm in.
Yeah, I do. Like, I just generally, I loved how interested I am in Wade after this movie. Like, I forgot that. And I think you're totally, totally right that it's because we now know that Deadpool and Wolverine is coming. And so it makes the second movie, like, I think probably over the last few years, it felt like kind of like a, this, you know, the series went out with a whimper, not because the movie wasn't good, but just because it's kind of like, eh, okay, like there it is. Like, that's the story of Deadpool because the studio's over. And I now, like, yeah, now that we know that it's like a piece and a journey, I do feel like, okay, like we know what this character's been through. We understand what sets him apart. Like, the idea that Deadpool is the one that wants to show mercy to the kid and Cable isn't, like, that is such a development for that character that makes him like more nuanced. And I just, the entire experience between like all the X stuff that we've watched on the Patreon and the Deadpool movies, it just makes me so, it makes me way more excited than I actually thought I would be at this stage in our journey.
That is exactly how I wanted to close this episode, Robbie. You took the words right from my mouth, because the whole point of this journey was basically to get our minds right. And as we sit on the doorstep now, my mind feels as right as it ever could be. Having watched all those movies and then seeing that these Deadpool films tie into it, having this kind of experience, rewatching the trailer, Logan is on Friends from Work Plus this Thursday. That's the last movie we're watching before Deadpool and Wolverine, which, by the way, how perfect is that? It's almost like you planned it. Just the fact that we're going to watch Deadpool 2, which ties, and then Logan, which kind of ties in, and then the next thing we're going to watch is you and I hopefully together watching Deadpool and Wolverine. And it's going to be a mashup of all of that that we just did to get our minds right with everything that we founded the podcast on, the MCU, like everything we knew about the MCU. Hopefully these worlds are coming together in a hopefully very effective way. But I'm ready now. And that's what's crazy. Yeah. I feel ready. Next week is Monday, with the movie airing on that Thursday. We still don't know when we're going to see it, but Monday's episode is going to be. I think it's going to be, like I said, a spoiler-free preview, or just maybe one more discussion like this. Like, we're on the doorstep hype, but man, it's crazy, man. I do feel ready. And so thank you for the journey you've set up for us. And I do think it has been effective. I mean, think about, I'm not going to rehash all this, but all the different episodes we've recorded these last few weeks on Friends from Work Plus and here on the main feed, like, think about how often we've reflected on the journey, and the reflection has been, man, this has been a little bit better than we remembered giving it credit for. And so I love that that's the setup versus the opposite. You know, I feel ready. I'm ready.
I can't, like, what I love is the one character that I'm missing now is the one we're about to get next, because that is the weird thing. Like, after Days of Future Past, we get that brief cameo of Logan and Apocalypse. And after that, he was so much the anchor of the franchise. And this chronological view, I do like it a lot, and I'm really excited to get, I'm not going to get into that now, 'cause that will be our final Friends from Work Plus episode. But I wanted to make, I guess, three pitches very quickly. I think I can make them all in less than a minute here. One, I would really, it's been so fun for us. The most fun thing we ever do, like we talked about at the beginning of this show, is these rewatches. And if you're not a Friends from Work Plus subscriber, and you've kind of been looking for a reason to, this whole series has been a ton of fun. It's been like really surprising for us. So I would, again, no pressure. We have plenty of things here on the main feed for you for free. But if that is something that you're interested in, I've had a lot of fun watching them and talking about them. It seems like it's been a fun thing for folks. The other side of that is we are also coming to the end of our Hickman Avengers, like the first half of that run leading to Secret Wars. And it kind of feels in some ways like we're kind of coming up on like the halfway point for the multiverse saga. So it's kind of a nice way to jump in there. That's another thing on Friends from Work Plus that's been fun. But that takes me to like my third thing, which is if you are looking for more comic stuff on here, not only should you check out Organic Price Books, because you can get the Avengers Secret Wars stuff that we're talking about. There's a new Secret Wars omnibus that I think just went live that you can get. But also, we had a couple episodes ago an interview with Joe Kelly that was just so fun. He was so delightful and kind, and it actually was just announced like right after we had him on the show, which is very classic Friends from Work, that he's going to be taking over on a brief stint on Amazing Spider-Man again after the Zeb Wells run concludes here. So kind of a Deadpool synergy thing there. That was such a great conversation about not only the Deadpool comics history, which like we talked about is so key to the way he's interpreting these movies, but also the Deadpool and Wolverine series that Joe Kelly is writing currently that's coming out on comic stands. So that was like we wound up getting to kind of talk about what he thinks makes those characters a good fit for each other, like the dynamic there. We talked a little bit, I think, there about Deadpool and Cable. So the headline is there's so much more like Deadpool and X-Men content that we've gotten to cover on Friends from Work Plus and Friends from Work proper lately. So if you are tuning into this and have not gotten a chance to dig into that stuff, this is kind of the time to do it. So again, if not, no pressure. We're not begging. I'm just saying it's been a fun time. So we'd love to have you if that's something that you're interested in.
And kind of on that note, I will announce or formally announce, or at least we can discuss on one of our upcoming episodes, what our schedule is going to look like after Deadpool, but now is not the time. But I have some ideas to bridge the gap from Deadpool and Wolverine and Agatha All Along, which is actually, I think, September 18. So it's not that
not
long
that
of a
long
gap
from now. Yeah.
Less than 2 months. So we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm going to close today's episode just by quickly, again, updating my personal rankings now that Deadpool 2 is in this. I'll start from the bottom now. This is without Logan. From the bottom, X-Men Origins, X3, Apocalypse, then New Mutants and the Wolverine, although I may flip-flop those. Then First Class, Dark Phoenix, Deadpool. And then kind of my top tier would be X1, Deadpool 2 at number 3, and then X2 and Days of Future Past. So I think I go Days of Future Past 1, X2 2, and then Deadpool 2, 3. So
it slid in there. Man, I think that's right. I think that's right. That's crazy. I did not think that that was going to be where I landed, but I had such a great watch of this second one too. So I think I'm totally on the same page.
Me too. Gosh, I hope you all enjoyed this rewatch journey, and I hope you enjoyed this movie as much as we did, or as I did at least on this first watch for me. Hope you enjoyed this discussion. As Robbie said, there are so many ways to get involved. But as always, hit us up on social media at the FFW Podcast or visit our website, theffwpodcast.com. And on our website, maybe the coolest thing about it is a direct link to our Discord page that has hundreds of listeners to this podcast that are diehards chatting about these movies the second they walk out of the theater. And all the threads are labeled so you can avoid spoilers if you want to. And just generally, it's a pretty welcoming and great community. So if you want more discussion and this podcast inspired some thoughts and you don't want to type up an email or something, hop on over to Discord, join the hundreds of us that are just chatting about it. And Robbie and I are on there too. And we can discuss this further. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. And thank you for supporting this podcast. We'll see you right back here next time, getting ready for Deadpool and Wolverine here on Friends from Work.
The This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.